You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
This is Ted DiBiase, the Million Man. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here because you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
Knockouts and Three Counts.
Yes, sir. This is Knockouts and Three Counts. And here once again with another episode of Podcast Gold. Kyle, what's cracking, man?
Shit, man. I still feel like shit because Michigan hasn't got done throwing temper tantrums. But other than that, I'm doing great, man. How the hell are you?
Are you talking about the baseball team or the weather?
Well, we could say both.
But I'm doing pretty damn good, man. Had a good weekend. Traveling to St. Louis. Went up and tried to meet up with our guy, Dave Silva. But unfortunately, he was not there. But I got to see Tony Schiavone and Conrad Thompson. Had a good time down there. Had a good conversation with Conrad and met some good people down there, man. So we might have some future guests coming from that. But you want to get to our guests, man?
Let's do it. I mean, clearly, there's three of us.
We've never had this guy on the show before. It's good to finally get him
only
in the
25
studio.
Times.
Actually, this guy was actually one of our very first guests.
Right? I think I was the first.
He was the first.
Yeah, you and Mo. But ladies and gentlemen, coming up this Saturday in Grand Rapids, this man will be fighting for Lights Out. If you're in the area, make sure you go ahead and come out and check him out. Watch him get another victory. It's not money anymore. It's murder. Money.
I changed it again.
MMA, we're going to change it every fight.
MMA Aladdin, though.
Okay, so here's the question, though. Is this on the same level as when we used to say that Kev's mom didn't love him because he changed his Twitter handle all the time?
No, because I'm afraid like Maniba actually punched me in the face for saying that. So, nah, it's just rebranding.
You big pussy.
Hey, look, man. I picked my battles wisely. But no, we just call this rebranding. But how's it going, man?
It's going well. It's going well. Things are good.
So since we last had you on, man, you've been killing it. You're on what, 6-fight win streak?
4.
Okay, I thought 4-5. It was 6. Okay, yeah. I was trying to hype you up. Should have went with 6. 6 anyway,
is better than 4.
Anyways, he's not only been on a win streak, man, you've been knocking people out, both boxing and MMA. Yep. So tell us a little bit about the transition to boxing, what made you want to take a boxing fight, and what were your thoughts on it?
So I hurt my shoulder November, knocking Keaton Gatzmer out in 20 seconds, which was pretty cool. But yeah, after I hurt my shoulder, I just didn't want to sit out as long as they were telling me to sit out. They were telling me 12 to 16 weeks before I should even start training. And I think I started training 4 weeks after. Wow. I think it was 4 weeks after. I just got in the gym and I was like moving around. It took me 3 weeks to like lift my arm and move my arm around. I was like,
wait, no surgery or anything?
No
like
surgery
that.
Or anything.
Did
but,
you
like,
tear anything or what did you
didn't
do
tear it? Anything. Just it was a clean dislocation, but it was still like, it takes a while for like everything to come back, you know? Right. So I was like reaching for stuff like that, you know? For like 3 weeks, and then the second I could get to moving is like, I was like, I don't want to get out of the cage because that's the biggest thing. Like when you get out of the cage, you start to have that ring rust, and I just didn't want that. So I accepted a fight. I think it was 6 weeks after the injury, I accepted the fight, and then 3 weeks later I fought. I did my professional boxing debut, and I'd never fought amateur boxing or anything, but I just went down to like the gyms in Detroit and just was – on my first day, I sparred Eric De Leon. He's like, yep. I think he's like 17-0. Mm-hmm. Great. I think multiple time national champion. You know, I held my own. I did pretty well. So I felt really comfortable with the transition to boxing, and it helped me work on some things like moving my head, getting comfortable, and just taking my time picking those shots that I needed to. As you saw in my last fight, just taking my time, being patient.
Well, that's actually something I've always kind of wondered, and you led right into it. A couple years ago, we saw Conor McGregor jump into boxing, and you know, he did okay. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, you know, wasn't the best. He did okay. I mean, you can have your theories behind that fight, but how hard is that transition going from, you know, MMA where you're used to kicking and taking people down to just like, oh, I can't do that anymore. Now I have to go with a whole different technique now, just straight boxing.
So it wasn't particularly hard because I've been training with Kara for like 5 years now, and she's had me spar straight boxing for a while. There was some things that had to change, though. Like, I know in MMA, it's so much bigger of a damaging shot when you get hit with a little glove. So, like, you want to avoid getting hit as much as possible. But in boxing, you just have to accept that you're going to get hit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're going to get hit. You have to accept that. And then you have to just be like, okay, I'm going to get it back, you know, which is the biggest thing. Like, I was at first, like, moving too much or doing a lot extra. And then you notice, like, a lot of these boxers are just super calm. They're just going to take their time, mm-hmm. block punches when they need to,
right.
cover, roll with the punches. Whereas, like, now I have to, like, change and go back to MMA style, in and out, moving. But it helped me. Like, I got better at defense, got better with head movement because I was just strictly boxing for a couple weeks.
So tell us about this fight you got coming up. You're fighting Anthony Michael at Lights Out 4.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, good opponent. You know, tell us your thoughts on the fight, how you see it going, and how you're feeling about camp so far.
Well, it's cool to fight somebody that you don't have much animosity for. But that being said, I wanted this fight. I asked for this fight. I remember watching Anthony fight the last guy that I fought, and I saw it, and I was like, hey, I believe I could beat both these guys. I can exploit both of them for different weaknesses. And I feel like where Anthony's weak is his feet. His feet don't move. He needs to be this close to you to start throwing punches. And whereas you saw, like, Usama Rahman gave him a lot of problems just by moving his feet, being awkward, that in-and-out blitz, all that stuff, whereas he just didn't have the power to hurt him, you know? Whereas I feel like I have the power where I can be in and out, I can move, I can be slick, but I can be devastating when I want to be. So I think that's the biggest thing there. And I've just been sparring bigger people this camp. I've been sparring Darren. I've been sparring Ali Hamka. Those guys are way bigger and stronger than him because I feel like he's bigger than me, but I don't think he'll be stronger than me. I don't think he'll be more powerful than me.
That's fair.
And this fight's going to be at 135, right?
Yep.
So weight cut.
It's not as bad anymore. It's like that's helping me enjoy fighting because there was a time where I didn't enjoy fighting anymore. I hated fighting because every time I had to fight, I had to cut 20 pounds, you know, and that was stressful. I know these 35ers are a lot bigger, but I'm like over it. You know, I'm like, forget this weight cut. I'd rather just not fight if that's the case. I don't want to cut that much weight. It's not worth it.
Wait, so what's your natural walking around?
Natural, I'm like 150.
Okay.
I'm not too big for 25.
Right.
But I'm not a big 35er. But I just don't want to cut that weight. There's just no in-between weight classes.
Do you see yourself going back to 25 at all? Or are you going to stay permanent at 35?
It's got to be for like a big promotion. It's got to be for UFC or Bellator. Otherwise, it's not worth it.
Makes sense. So I want to hear your thoughts. Did you watch the Bare Knuckle FC that happened on Saturday with Lobov and Malignaggi?
I ended up watching that fight, yeah.
What did you think?
I think Paulie won the first two. And then I gave...
Wait, that was Paulie Malignaggi fighting now?
Yeah, Paulie fought.
Where were you at?
I was in St. Louis.
I'm saying, yeah. Where were you at not knowing the fight?
I knew Lobov was fighting, but I didn't know he was fighting.
Well, dude, they've been going at it in the press conference and everything, like just back and forth.
I didn't know Paulie was doing bare knuckle. I thought he was still, you know, training boxing, but I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, you're fine.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought it was early on, Paulie was doing some good things, and I just feel like Artem started to give it to him a little bit, bully him, push him around.
So the one thing I saw coming out of that fight, Artem talked a lot about how when he tried to clinch up with Paulie, he wanted to dirty box, and that the ref wasn't letting him.
You know, yeah, like I would have liked to see a little bit more in that area. They were just like breaking him almost immediately, you know? Like I think you should have gave him a couple more seconds to work. Try to do some things. I mean, I like the clinch. Some people, it's not for everybody, but I think they should have let it because Paulie kept running away.
Yeah, especially considering you got a guy who's coming from MMA, so you know that he's naturally used to using a clinch. Now, I'm not saying that anybody should be given some sort of unfair advantage of any kind,
right.
But at the same time, like you've got to realize that's kind of part of his game too. So I feel like if he's working, he should be given a little bit of – a little bit of leeway with that, but I mean that's just me personally.
Real quick, since we're talking about bare knuckle, could you ever see yourself doing bare knuckle?
Nah, I don't think so. I don't want to damage these hands. If you damage your hands, you have nothing left as a fighter. Like
Once your hand's broke once, dude, it's only a matter of time till it breaks.
I just don't see it. Like, I don't have the biggest hands particularly. They knock people out. It's great and all. But, like, you'll see Mayweather would never do something that stupid. And that's who I want to emulate. I don't want to emulate these dummies who are just getting their faces shredded apart for what? For nothing. Like, bare-knuckle boxing doesn't appeal to me. It doesn't even look like they have the highest quality fighters. So I'm not going to strive for that level for, like, low quality.
Right. I think past guest Sheena Stark was did
she
one.
Was.
I think she did like, the first and the second, I think.
Well, she was at this one, too. She was with the Irish over there with Lobov and them.
Just yeah.
Look at her Facebook.
I mean, you think, look at it. Like, Lobov's 1,500 MMA fighter, or excuse me, 500 MMA fighter. Paulie Malignaggi's granted, he was a world champion in boxing, but he's way over the hill. He's old. He's fat.
Oh, yeah. He's old. He's old now, man. And I was surprised to even see him in that fight.
Right.
When I realized it was Paulie, I'm like, what?
So right. It wasn't just me. See?
I knew it was happening, though.
I mean, no, I knew. They are paying these guys well, you know.
Okay.
But
that
not...
was the other question I had for you when it comes to bare knuckle is that did you see the thing in the middle of the fight where the guy got the promoter got in the ring and he was like he wasn't busy enough. He's giving him half of his pay to.
Yeah, I don't like that. That I'm gonna fight that promoter if that's me. There's no way. Don't. I mean, you're risking your life whether he's not fighting or not. Like Dominic Cruz runs around.
It's the same argument right. That they had when it comes to MMA. You know, people used to say that people didn't throw as much because of the smaller gloves. Well, take that and then think of, you know, all you've got is hand wraps on. You can't be expecting these dudes.
Yeah, they're going to bust up their hands.
They're going to bust up your hands, you know, and they're not going to just sit there and trade. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about big guy, small guy. It's not going to happen like that again.
No, it's very strange. It's very strange how that's getting popularized. I mean, there was that one good fight, Artem and that one guy. There's certain guys who you could put them together and they'll make a great fight out of it, but
sometimes
it's not going to be great.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's to be expected. I mean, I just don't see guys banging like that. But, you know, back to Lights Out 4, you know, not only are you on the card, you've got your teammate Chad Decker on the card. We were talking a little bit about that before we went on the air. You know, tell us a little bit about his fight. Tell us about Chad Decker for any of those that don't know him yet.
Chad Decker, he's a mean kid, man. He comes in to fight. He's coming in to kill this guy. I mean, he already beat this kid in high school wrestling. He dominated him. He teched him. And in wrestling, that's like when you win, I think, 16-0 or something.
It's like the mercy.
Yeah, he destroyed that kid. And Chad told me he had 2 torn meniscuses that year.
Wow.
Going into, like, those state tournament, you know? So he's like, I bet $500 on Chad. Because if he mentally broke that kid, I mean, that kid got teched by you. He's not coming into this MMA fight. He's not going to win that fight. Chad's too mean. He's aggressive. He's a great training partner as well for me. So I feel like he's going to do well. A lot of people will be hearing about this kid soon enough.
So what are your thoughts now with all this, like, controversy and all that stuff with the 125 division in 125 and 135 in the UFC? Where do you see it going, and what are your thoughts on everything we've seen with Henry Cejudo and how he's going back and forth with Dana White? Because after his last fight, he came out and said that if Dana wasn't paying him, he said, then I'm not fighting.
I mean, it's just so hard to be a fan of that guy. That guy can fight. Don't get me wrong. He's a great martial artist. But, man, it's just really hard to be a fan of somebody. He's just not cool. Like, there's just something about him. He's just not fucking cool. And now he's running with it, like, king of cringe, all that. It's just – he's going to get the UFC 25 division kicked out, like, just because of him. He's just such a tool, man.
I mean, I wasn't sure if there was a division or not. And then all of a sudden the division was back and he's defending his title.
What I think it is? Is a lot of guys in those lower weight classes tend to come from wrestling backgrounds, so you'll see a lot of just straight wrestlers just in those weight classes. Mm-hmm. A bunch of freaking Jake Shields, you know? Like, nobody wants to see them fight. But if you look around, like, you look at the regional scene, there's a lot of great 125 fighters who come in to fight. They knock people out. They're fast. They're explosive. I feel like I'm one of them. And,
definitely.
The problem is just, like, the guys who get to the top level are guys who win, and unfortunately, a winning strategy is wrestling and holding people down. So those guys tend to get to the UFC, and the UFC just happened to get a bunch of these guys who aren't exciting.
So with that being the climate, you know, for you, where are you looking at? Are you looking at, like, you know, a Bellator as a place you'd like to go? I mean, obviously, UFC is the ultimate goal for everybody, but, I mean, like, with the way 125 and 135 have been, does that make you say, well, damn, you know, I'd kind of like to look at one of the other promotions or something.
I'm looking at some things after this fight. I want to sit down. I want to actually, after this fight, I might actually get a real manager and just sit down and just talk about with my team and my manager, whoever I decide to go with. I just want to decide what I want to do with my career, whether it's MMA, whether it's boxing, and just after that, just probably stick to one. I'm just having fun, really. Fighting to me is more of a hobby. I don't care if I end up getting rich off of fighting or not. Like, it is what it is.
As long as you end up rich,
it'll happen either way. Because right. With every fight, you just gain credibility. Like, I'm doing well in my trainer stuff, and I'm having a great time every single day, and it's just fun, you know. But it's not like it's really a hobby for the most part. Not everybody can become a Conor McGregor. And I realize that even guys at the top aren't making that much money at the end of the day. What, you coming home with $150,000 and a beat up face? I'd rather say, I think the best advice I ever got was from my coach Kara, was telling me, hey, go out there and do this for fun. Enjoy it. Enjoy that you can do it, that you have the opportunity to do it, because there's so many people who wish they could do it, who never get the chance, whether it's just like circumstance or disability or whatever it is. And just go out there and just have fun, you know. There's no pressure, you know, just enjoy yourself. And ever since I heard those words from her, I realized, like, hey, let's just have some fun. Because even if you get to a world championship, that doesn't mean you're going to be set the rest of your life, you know.
Right.
It's not Conor Khabib every fight, you know. It's
a fair point, man. And, like, we've talked about that before on the show, man. Like, people have this idea that when you make it to the UFC, you just start getting paid.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, it don't work that way. It just don't. Like,
It's nice. It's a nice little bit of money. I mean,
it's not like you're getting, you know, you're getting nice money, but it ain't like
life changing.
It ain't people like what people think, like, oh shit, he made it to the UFC and it's, you know, he's making big money.
Right. That's why I'm trying to set myself up through the fighting. I'm trying to set up the rest of my life. Like, with all the things I've learned over the years, I've been fortunate enough to have some great coaches who I've actually retained knowledge through and done some big things, like taught me a lot that have made me be able to teach others, you know? So that's a big thing, and I enjoy that. So after fighting, I'll definitely stick with, like, training people, whether it's branching out, starting my own gym or whatever, something like that.
Wait, one person I want to ask you about, we had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, and I traveled to Chicago to see him fight. Jesse Bazzi.
Yeah.
He made his Bellator debut. Like I said, I was there. Wait, where's the bell? I can't find the bell. I will. But, yeah, I went and saw him fight. He did a great job, man. So talk to me about Jesse, man. Like, what did you see? What do you see from him going into that fight, and what do you see him doing after his victory in Bellator?
That was, I think that was probably Jesse's best performance. He was real comfortable, real calm. He went out there, he executed well. He didn't go to that guy's strong suit, which is the ground, and he picked him apart. He beat him up. Right now, Jesse's he's gonna have his second kid soon, so in the next like couple days, it's real close.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure, like, after that's all done, he'll get back in there and continue to do well. Jesse's the type of guy, he can fight anybody in the world. He can fight at the highest level with anybody, and sometimes you win, sometimes you lose at the highest levels of MMA. He's fought some great fighters, so I give him that.
So, going back into Lights Out, you know, what are some other fights that you're looking forward to on this card? What other fights do interest you on this card?
Honestly, I don't know any other fights on the card. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't do my homework on this card. I know Eric Lozano and Cuppy are the main event. I like both of them. They're cool. I don't know who wins. I think Lozano might have won the first one.
Yeah.
And there's some stuff that happened in the last fight. I don't know. And then there's Chad. My buddy Chad's fighting. But really, other than that, I have no idea.
You're focused on the fight. I get you. But how do you feel about fighting in the Deltaplex, man?
Like, I love fighting there.
You know, like, that place is probably one of the bigger venues that local guys are going to fight at. So, I mean, for you, going back to the Deltaplex, let people know that are coming to the fight, you know, the type of atmosphere that they can expect.
Especially if it's their first time going to the Deltaplex to watch fighting. I don't know.
So I think I fought at the Deltaplex 5 times now.
Wow.
5 or 6 times. I did it a lot as an amateur. I haven't fought there. It's going to be close to a year and a half since I fought there. Just the Deltaplex, when I get in there, I know what time it is. Like, I know this is like – this is it. This is going to be a fight today, you know?
Time to do
some work. I'm used to it. Yeah, it's fun. Like, I have such a good time there. The energy, the crowd. There's so many big fans out there. Like, a lot of people come out. It's great. So
a
little different.
So we were talking about the Deltaplex. We were talking about the fan environment. How is the fan environment there in the Deltaplex? Is it one of the better venues in the area as far as like fan participation, getting into the fights, or?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm kind of disappointed in Detroit, I'll be honest. I'll be honest, I'm really disappointed in the Detroit MMA scene. Like, banquet hall shows are just, they blow my mind. Like, that's bullshit. And then Lansing, I've been to Lansing. Mm-hmm. Pete from Lansing, yep, TWC. They throw an insane show. It's at his hotel. It's packed to the gills, man.
I've seen it, man. And they got the big LED screen and shit for people to walk out from and stuff.
I like it. It's packed, man. Like, there is so many people there. And then you go to Grand Rapids. Same thing. So many people there. Hype. Love fighting. Then you come to Detroit. 500 people.
Okay, but do you think that a lot of that's got to do with that we're losing some of our bigger places at this point? Because nobody's really made their way into Little Caesars yet for fighting. But yet, you know, you had the Joe. The Joe's gone. You got the Palace is on its way out.
Man, the Joe. We had the Joe, but we really didn't. It was that scumbag was running that show. He's not going to do shit for Michigan MMA or fighters. He doesn't care about anybody. You need, man, Matt Frendo. I like Matt Frendo. He's a good promoter, man. That guy can do some work here. Smart people, like, you can't fill up a card. No disrespect to these shows. You can't fill up a card with guys from out of town who nobody knows. I don't care if they fought in the UFC. But, like, for example, you bring in a Joe Riggs. Like, great. Good for you. Nobody knows him. Go ask everyone at the grocery store, hey, have you ever heard of this guy? Nobody's going to know him, you know? But if you go around and you ask for, like, local fighters in the area and you have me on the card, you have Kenny Cross on the card, you have a bunch of these guys who are well-known, you'll sell some tickets, you know? You'll bring people out. You bring in some local guys like Darren Cruikshank, somebody like that. People will know them. You can't just bring guys from out of town to headline your card. Nobody knows them. It's stupid.
Well, one thing that I noticed, one of the shows that we went to, and actually had them on the show, the Harjabi brothers.
Yeah.
He's what? Albanian?
Albanian.
Yep.
They come out for the fights, man.
And they get into it, bro. Mm-hmm.
That was one thing that amazed me is like, man, they came out and they show support for their guy, man. So, yeah. You I can see you having to book more local people because they come out and support. Yeah.
Yeah. It's literally how it's got to be. I'm 2.5 hours from Grand Rapids. I'm fortunate enough to have a good fan base where people are going to come out. And you know what? The ones that can't, they're going to order that pay-per-view.
Right.
And that's a nice thing too. But it's also on the fighters. I feel like fighters need to be more about their money. It's all about selling tickets at the end of the day. The more you sell, the more opportunities you'll have.
And it makes you a bigger commodity than the next promoter.
Yep.
Do more podcasts like Knockouts and 3 Counts.
Maybe, yeah.
So, speaking of local guys and local fighters, man, another one of your guys' teammates who trains out of Team Alpha Male, you know, Vince Murdoch, is getting his shot in the UFC in Minnesota. Tell us a little bit about that, man. Tell us a little bit about Vince for those who don't know. And if you don't, check out his episode in the archives. But let us know your thoughts on Vince making it to the show now.
I'm super happy for him. Vince is one of the nicest dudes you'll ever meet. I'm actually going out next month to stay with Vince and just hang out and train and stuff like that. So it's real nice to see that Vince got his opportunity. It's well deserved. He stuck with it, and you know what? You're seeing that now. Guys like Darren, Cody, Vince, they started together from the beginning, and now you see where they're at. You know, they all have their runs in the UFC and biggest promotions in the world, and it lets me know, like, hey, if I continue,
you can make it out of Michigan.
Yeah, if I can stick with this, you know what, I can do it. They can do it. I've trained with all these guys. You know, I feel like I'm at that level two somewhere down that line. I can get there.
You're going that way.
Yeah, I'm projecting it. You know,
wait, Vince is fighting on
he's fighting on the Minnesota card. He's a last minute replacement.
Okay, I thought he might have been on that Sacramento card.
I forget. I think some guy Ramos or something.
Yeah, I can't remember the guy's name. I just
whoever
was
he is.
At.
Give me a second, Vinny. Vinny's gonna do well in that fight.
Yeah, he's gonna do well. But you were just saying that you were gonna go out to Cali to go train with him. You know, give me your thoughts on going out to Team Alpha Male.
Honestly, it's more of a vacation for me. It's gonna be after my fight. It's not gonna be nothing crazy.
I hear you.
But yeah, I just need to get away from it for a bit. You know, I've been working hard the last few months, so I need a little bit of an escape. So it'll be fun.
Vince is fighting Jordan Griffin.
Jordan Griffin, cool. Yeah, dead meat.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't fucking know that guy, but I hope Vince kills him.
But yeah, man. Well, let me ask you about that. If you're gonna go out to Sacramento, man.
Yeah.
When you go there,
mm-hmm.
take a look at the town. I need a report back. I was there. Well, no bell this time. I was there for what's his name? Can't think of his name. Uriah Faber's last fight in Sacramento.
Okay.
And I just remember going through the town, and mm-hmm. you know, it really wasn't much to do then. But I just remember people telling me, "Come back in about 4 or 5 years. Town's going to be, you know, built up."
Okay.
Kevin Johnson, he used to play for the Phoenix Suns, the mayor there.
Okay.
Now he's developing the city, so. I need a report from you on what, right, what
cool.
the town is
you
like.
You got it. If you want to know another city that's on the come up, Dearborn, Michigan. That's where I'm from. Check out West Dearborn right now. It's booming. You guys got to be there. It's beautiful.
So I got to get to the Ford Garage, man.
I've been there too.
I ate there. That place is actually pretty damn good.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of places. Brome is my favorite, though. I'm going to choose Brome over everything.
And they got that nice parking structure right there, it's right beautiful. Behind Bailey's, man.
So, yeah, Dearborn's real nice with that. So they all voted on free parking, so. Anywhere you go in that city, he's got free parking.
I'm going to pick Tasty.
Tasty's? Really? I don't like them. They screw Tasty's. So they were supposed to be my a sponsor for me, right?
Oh, that's personal. Okay.
And so, like, I did all the sponsorship stuff on my end, promoted them, put them on my banner shorts. And then they're like, hey, after they asked me, like, who's your other sponsors, I sent in my sponsors. And then they were like, oh, no, you have a gun sponsor. We don't want to sponsor you anymore.
I was
like,
well, God.
You know what, you little bitches. We can say that on podcast. We can curse. I heard this on Joe Rogan. So, yeah, fuck that place. I'll never eat there again.
I mean, if you want, you and Kyle have a cuss off, man. See who can say the most cuss words.
I love how you sit there and say that as if he doesn't cuss.
Like, I get my 2 or 3 in it every so. I mean, yours is like 2 or 3 a sentence, man.
One day, when I'm super rich, I'm going to just buy the place, bulldoze it.
So how do you really feel about Tasty's, man?
Yeah, that's
Tasty's made them.
I didn't honestly, I didn't like them from before. I had a bad experience ordering. I had a bad experience one time. I ordered, and I'm very particular with what I like on my burger. Oh, so I ordered a build your own. Like I literally told them, lettuce, tomatoes, pickles, mayo, no ketchup, no mustard whatsoever, none of that. They sent me a burger. It had mushrooms. Like a bunch of cheeses, like all kinds of crazy shit. Ketchup, mustard, literally everything that I did not want. Damn. So I call him back. I'm like, hey, you guys screwed up my order. I'm going to come bring this thing back and get another one. So I go over there thinking that I'm going to have a better experience this time. I grab the burger and I get home. Again, fucked up my order. Literally gave me almost the exact same burger that they gave me the first time. I freaked the fuck out. So from then, I never ate at Tasty's for years. But
so is it bad?
Well, let me just say, the views of Manib are that. But if Tasty's would love to sponsor Knockouts and Three Counts.
Nah, man. Don't do it. Don't do it. On your end, bro, don't do it. Don't do it. They're going to probably be like, oh, something's wrong. Why does he wear a hat?
That makes me think of something that's pretty damn funny. So I went through the drive-through over there by work. You know, one of the days you're just hungry. I went through the drive-through with the McDonald's over there. I went through. I ordered a burger or just regular cheeseburger. I just wanted something to snack on. Next thing you know, you go through there. They gave me a burger or not even a burger. They gave me 2 buns and a piece of cheese. They didn't even put the meat in there. And I go in and I go, can you tell me what's missing in there? They're like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Some people order those as grilled cheese. I'm like, bro.
What?
I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what do you mean?
Wow. How do you go to McDonald's and just get bun and cheese?
Like, what?
They're all nasty.
Bro. Like, and how are you doing? And this is my beef. Like, your job is to make burgers. Where's the burger part? Like, like you missed the burger. Man. So UFC, Bellator, all that stuff, man. You know, who are people that you're liking to watch right now? Like, you know, you mentioned that you've been more into boxing right now. Has that been, you know, where you've been at? And this sounds like Matt Frendo calling in.
Is it Frendo or Tony?
Frendo, you interrupted me, bro. Honestly.
Hello.
Is this Frendo? Frendork.
What's up, guys?
Hey, let me answer my question, bro. So, honestly, I was just talking to my buddy right now on the phone. I just told him, like, hey, man, like, I've fallen out of the loop with the UFC thing. Like,
you're not the only one.
Man, it's just gotten... Nobody's like interested in right now, or they don't fight often enough.
Hey, that
like,
Cowboy Tony fight had me though.
I watched that a little bit, but still wasn't like it's just I don't know. Tony fights so ugly. Like he wins, it's great and all that, but it's just so ugly. It's not right. Like it doesn't.
Man, I was planning on watching this fight this past weekend because Cody was supposed to be on there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I'm like,
you're not gonna watch it now.
I mean, it already went.
Who's on it? Like.
It was this past Saturday, so I was like, yeah, I'm not going to waste my time.
Yeah, the only guy I care to watch right now is probably John Jones in the UFC.
July 6th, Vegas.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that, but he's going to beat the shit out of that guy.
You know he's going to.
He's like, you ever watch some of those like documentaries where the animals are just picking at their food? Like, just finish, bro. Like, come on. Like,
that's so, John Jones right now.
Yeah, let's not be rude to our guest on the phone. Matt, how are you feeling going into Lights Out 4, man? We talked about Muneeb's fight with Anthony over here, man. Tell us your thoughts on the card.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. You know, fight week, we're a couple days away, so fight week is always a pretty crazy time. I'm tired as fuck, ready to sleep. But, I'm excited. We had a lot of fights. Drop out. We ended up scheduling 15 fights originally, and we're down to 10.
Wow.
But I'm actually pretty happy with that. I don't want to be there all night anyways. So I think 10 fights is a pretty good number. You know, we'll have 10 really good fights, and then we can go out and celebrate after.
What? So this time, no wedding around the same time as the fight?
No. I still get reminded pretty much daily by my wife, how happy she is that I chose to do that. The week after the show, she was really excited about all the work that I put into the wedding. And, she still also reminds me that I never took her on a honeymoon. So,
wow.
I got to have these shows go well so I can do something for her. Our 1 year anniversary is coming up in September. So I gotta do something for her so she gets off.
So I've never been married, but I don't know why I get this sneaky suspicion you will never ever not hear that story from her again. I'm pretty sure you're gonna hear about this for the rest of your days, but they're gonna be happy days.
Yeah, she literally does remind me of this every day. That she is thrilled that I decided to do my own promotion and take up even more time away from her that I already don't give her. So, couldn't be happier for me. She's really supportive of it.
So let's talk about something you are happy about though. What about, what are some of the fights on this card that you think are going to be sleepers?
Honestly, I got asked this question and I think the biggest sleeper, there's an amateur fight. His name is Chase Harbonas. And he's fighting Nicholas Horton. And not many people are talking about this because if you look them up on Tapology, you know, it says they're 1-0. It's just because a lot of their fights were unsanctioned. So they're killers. Nick, I think he's 8-1 and Chase is 7-1. Nick's beat Chaos Williams twice as an amateur. Nobody ever talks about that. So, you know, these guys are actually pretty high level guys. And, you know, it's just because not many of their fights were recorded, because they weren't sanctioned. So I think that's a sleeper. Nobody's really talking about it. We got the two amateur title fights. The co-main with Muneeb and Anthony, I think is going to be a great fight. I personally think that'll be the fight of the night. Like I said, we had 15 fights, and we ended up with 10, and I really am excited for all 10 of those fights.
Well, we kind of asked Muneeb this question earlier. Let's just say there's someone that's going to be at the Deltaplex for the first time. They've never been to a fight. What can that person, we're not going to give him a name, or we can give him one. We can give him the name Devin. What can a person that's never been to a Lights Out fight or a fight at the Deltaplex, what can they expect to see?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of fighters or fans or anything, they'll tell you that I think there's a different feel at the Deltaplex to this arena. So, like, and that's not any disrespect to any other shows, but, you know, like a hotel show or, like convention centers or anything like that, you know, it's just a different atmosphere when you're in an arena. You know, there's always good crowds. There's going to be a lot of people. You know, I just think it's a different feel, you know, being down on the floor at a lights out show with a couple thousand people there and they're all being loud, being that close to the action. I think the atmosphere is just something that's not really, you know, not a lot of promotions do that. So I think that's the main thing, you know, is the experience is awesome. You know, we get a lot of people that will come to the show regardless of who's fighting. You know, obviously if there's bigger draws in the card, we'll have more people, obviously, but
right.
There's people that will just show up because they like the atmosphere. They like going to the show and it's fun. You know, people have such crazy and busy life that, you know, they just want to get some entertainment and have a good night out. And, you know, that's what you're going to get when you come to the Lights Out show.
So how are you feeling so far with this being the fourth Lights Out? Like you mentioned, a lot of the other promotions are running, you know, convention centers and banquet halls and all that kind of stuff. And there's nothing wrong with any of that.
Right.
But, you know, how's that feel for you for this only being your fourth event? You guys are still running Deltaplex and getting good numbers over there each fight so far. You know, I mean, how is that for you for being a upstart promotion?
Yeah, it feels great. And we put in a lot of work. And these shows cost a lot of money. Like, I've told a couple of people this, and they don't believe me. And I've showed them my settlement reports with Deltaplex. I pay $16,000 to do shows there. It's not cheap. It's an expensive ass venue. But I don't want to do smaller shows. I don't want to go to like a hotel or anything like that. Like there's like you said, there's nothing wrong with that. It works for a lot of guys. A lot of promotions. They've been around for a long time and it works for them. And that's why they continue to do it. And that's just not what I want to do. You know, I want to do, arena shows. I want the fans, the fighters, especially the fighters like fighting there in that arena. There's a lot of people there and it's a different feel for them. And that's what I want to do. I have a good relationship with the Deltaplex and I'm going to start to try and talk them down a little bit on price here pretty soon. But until then, I mean, it is what it is. It's expensive, but I'm just hoping that in the long run, if I just keep putting in a lot of work and reinvesting into the shows and doing what I can to make Lights Out bigger and better every time, that eventually it'll pay off. So, the arena show, it's like I said, it's something I want to do. I didn't want to, when I started split off from KOP, I didn't want to do like smaller shows and, only throw shows for a couple hundred people. Like I just said, screw it. We're going to go all on. I'm going to push my chips all in and we're going to do it. And if I fail, then I fail. I can say I tried. And I do good. Then we'll make this thing big. So that's what the plan is.
And it's funny you say that. We were talking to Muneeb earlier and he's basically saying the same thing is that, he said, Matt Frendo is a guy that knows how to promote. He actually, cares about it. He puts the time and the money into it. So where does that come from, man? Where does it come from that you're willing to put this money up for MMA? Like, because I don't have $16,000.
I don't have $16,000 either.
I do.
If I didn't have the sponsors, I wouldn't be doing this.
Okay.
You know, Tracy with Steely Tees has been a massive help. I've got Diesel Freaks and Mike Hall's Insurance Agency, Mitt and Pizza. I have so many good companies that, once they were around the scene and they seen what happened with KOP and they know the situation. And I, honestly, I didn't know that I was going to continue. Like I always knew that I wanted to continue, but when it happened, the money that these shows cost, the total shows cost, I've never done a show that's less than $40,000. I don't have that money. So like it's a crapshoot every time, like it's sponsors and ticket sales. So like, I truly do hate relying on ticket sales. And it's to a point where my company is not set up to be like, just setting up fights that don't produce. Like these guys have to sell or otherwise I can't continue to do shows.
Right.
So like, it's honestly, it's a partnership with the promotions, the fighters, and the sponsors, like whether people see it or not, it's a three-way partnership because if one of those three doesn't do their job, then there's no shows. So, I wish I could sit here and say, I've got 40 to 50 grand laying around. I put these shows on and then they just do well, but that's not the case. Like, the financial aspect of it is these guys sell good tickets and they go out and they promote their ass off and they do their job. My sponsors kick in a lot. They really help me, and they're the main reason I'm able to do shows. And I really do have a passion for this. Like, you know, I have a college degree, but I don't have like anything to fall back on necessarily as far as like a backup job. Like, I have my regular day job where I work 50 hours a week, but it's a dead end job basically. Like, it's just something that helps pay the bills. Like, I still have time to do what I love to do with MMA. Right. So like, it's not my long-term career. Like, I know I can't make a career out of running a Boost Mobile store. Like, that's not going to work. So, you know, I continue to do it because I'm pretty slow at work most days. It allows me to do my fight stuff. But I don't have another option. Like, failure isn't an option for this company. Like, this is all in for me. So, you know, I'll do what I have to do, and I'll make it work regardless. But, without the fighters and the sponsors, that there wouldn't be a show. So,
well, we'll help you sell some tickets real quick. Why don't you tell everybody where they can get tickets and how much they are?
Yeah, so we've got them online. Every post we put on our Facebook, we put the ticket link on there. It's on etix.com. You can just search Lights Out Championship. If you Google Lights Out Championship for the link to the pay-per-view, the link to the ticket sales, everything will be there. The tickets are $35 for general admissions. They're $50 for VIPs. We will be on pay-per-view through Fight TV for the show. So that's an option if you can't make it live. We'll have tickets available at the door as well, too.
So tell me a little bit about that. You know, you just mentioned you guys are going to be on pay-per-view on Fight TV versus where we've seen a lot in Michigan MMA lately of, like, you've got WXC over there on UFC Fight Pass. And, you know, we've got so many people that are coming up and getting out, like even guys that have been big on Lights Out, like Brett Martin, you know. What's your thoughts on, like, this little surge as far as Michigan MMA goes, and what do you think it means for Lights Out?
I think there's a lot of eyes on Michigan MMA, and that's great. You know, these fighters are finally getting the recognition they deserve. For a while there wasn't a ton of MMA fighters in Michigan that were getting the recognition from the top level companies like the UFC and Bellator and stuff like that. I think it took somebody like Cody Stamann who gets in. You know, obviously there was guys before him, but there was kind of a gap there for a minute where there hadn't been anybody in a while to go. You know, I think when Cody got there, the UFC came, obviously it was what we called it, Cody, but the UFC came to Detroit, and I think that there's a real talent pool here that they're finally catching on to. You know, guys like Bobby Nash went, and Amanda Bobby Cooper, and you see guys like Jamal Hill and Devin Smith on the Contender Series, and Vince Murdoch gets picked up, and honestly, a fighter from Michigan today just got signed to the UFC that hasn't been announced yet. So there's a lot of guys that are getting up there. That's great. It's just that helps everybody. Like, for promotion, you're losing ticket sellers, but there's so many more eyes are going to be on your product now. So you could say, oh, Cody Stamann fought for me X amount of time, and now he's in the UFC. You know, guys want to come fight for you because, you know, maybe this promotion is helping guys get to where they want to go. So I think that benefits everybody, and that's the main goal of this. Like, obviously I want to make money and I want to have fun, but like, if these guys aren't getting to, like, through me and going on to UFC or Bellator or wherever they want to go, then I'm not doing my job well enough. So I think it's good for everybody, to be honest.
So tell us a little bit about your thoughts. You already said you thought that Muneeb's fight is going to be fight of the night. We concur. But tell us a little bit about your main event and your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so, you know, these guys were scheduled to fight at the last show. And, we woke up and we got to the fight. And, you know, three fights in, I get a message from Corey's brother saying that, you know, Corey has food poisoning. He's not going to be able to show up. And we were fucking devastated. Everybody lost out there. You know, Lozano lost money. Corey lost money. I lost money, you know, giving people refunds. It just was a pretty shitty situation. But, you know, that's never really happened with Corey before. He's not a guy that notoriously backs out of fights. So I trust him and Eric both to set this fight back up. So, like, they have so much bad blood between each other. You know, they fought 5 years ago. And it's just a fight where, you know, last card I needed to add a fight that was going to gain some hype and stuff like that. And so that's why we put it on originally. You know, Corey's always wanted the rematch, and, you know, it fell through, unfortunately. But, you know, this time we set it back up. I think it'll be a good fight. You know, these, like you said, bad blood fights are always entertaining. These guys are going to go in and try and knock each other's heads off. So I think it'll be an entertaining fight for the fans for sure.
So I'm going to put you on the hot seat. So obviously we got Muneeb in studio with us. You know, you told us you thought that's fight of the night. What went into making that fight? You know, tell us a little bit about Anthony Michael for those who don't know, and just what they can expect with that. We've heard Muneeb's side of it. Let's hear it from your side.
Don't say nothing crazy.
Yeah, well, so the thing with this fight is, you know, I think it's fair to say that both guys, their pro careers didn't start the way they thought they would. And I think it's also safe to say that these guys realized that they had to go all in on this stuff, just how I was saying with the promotion. You know, these guys, they have to make this their life, especially at the pro level. Once you start competing against high-level guys, like, it's not a hobby. It's not something you can do part-time. Like, you have to literally live this. And Matt, I think both those guys made that adjustment.
Matt, I'm going to cut you off.
In the last few...
Matt,
what do you say?
So, early on, I think I was too invested. Like, where I was, like, neglecting everything else in life for a hobby, you know? So I took a step back, and now I'm doing it more as, like, Kara told me, hey, have fun, enjoy this, enjoy that you get the opportunity to do this, you know? And ever since I heard those words, I've been like, you know what, I'm going to go out there, I'm just going to have fun, who gives a fuck what happens. I mean, I've had my shoulder snap out of my arm, I've had a lot of things happen, I've lost, you know, some big fights, and you know what? Whatever happens, happens. I'm going to go out there and beat the shit out of Anthony. I'm telling you that right now, bro. Like, that's it. It's a hobby, though.
Yeah. I mean, that's another aspect of it, too, is you know, it's things in your game plan that you have to switch up. And I think both you guys did that. I think, you know, Anthony, obviously, I think he was more of the aspect of how I was saying. I don't think he was – not that he was not training and stuff like that. I just don't think he was – really ready maybe for the competition, or maybe wasn't putting in the work he needed to put in. And, you know, he moved to American Top Team, and he's been on a tear. And obviously when he was knocked out with three or four straight guys. So I think these guys, they're peaking at the right time. You know, they're obviously both on the upswing. They're both, they're hitting their stride, I think, now at the perfect time. And I think whoever wins this fight is going to set themselves apart and really show that they're ready to be that elite fighter. And, you know, I think that's what makes this fight so interesting.
All right. So I wanted to read this quote. I wanted to wait till we had both you, Matt, and you, Muneeb. And this quote says, I don't care if I'm not the underdog. Just the fact that one person will think I'll lose this fight pisses me off. Saturday night, I'm going off. Those words were spit by this man next to me, Mr. Muneeb. Matt, I want to go to you first, man. did you see that post that he put on Facebook? And what do you think about that?
Yeah, we know he's a shit disturber, man.
I'm not. That's just real. That's just me being honest. Like, that's how I truly feel. I feel that.
You
like,
gotta feel like that.
I don't care if 99 people say you're gonna win the fight, and then there's one person who says I'm not. I'm like, fuck that person, you know? I don't care if, like, they say you're 11-1, you know, you're the big favorite. I'm like, who the fuck's the one guy betting against me, you know? Like, that's how I feel personally. Like, I don't care. Even if I wasn't the underdog, I still have that chip on my shoulder because I want to prove every single person wrong.
Fernando?
Yeah, I mean, that's the mindset you got to have. I mean, that's what drives a lot of people. So, I've seen that, and, you know, I know Nene likes to start some stuff sometimes, but I think he pisses him off, you know? You put your hard work in, and you train your ass off, and, you don't want anybody to think you're going to lose, so that's a good mindset to have for sure.
Kyle, what do you think about that? I don't know if you saw that or not.
I didn't see the post, but I'm all for it, man, because you and I have talked about this before, dude. Like, I don't know how else to put it any better than Muneeb already put it, man. Like, obviously our show covers pro wrestling and stuff like that and whatever, but dude, like when you, it's hard to explain to people that have never been in a ring before, but I think Muneeb would concur with what I'm about to say. Like if you can't, if even whatever it is, if you can't flip that switch when you get in the ring and you can't go in there and be like, fuck that, I don't care, I'm going to take this dude out by any means necessary, then you're going to get ate the fuck up. Like, that's just the long and
language.
I mean, hey, it is. We've already dropped more than a few F-bombs on this show.
Y'all did.
I mean,
sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. Yeah. I don't know. I just saw that quote, and I'm like,
I think to me that just shows me he's ready, though.
That's what I'm saying. I think this guy's ready, man.
Here's the thing, though. Like, the biggest thing I've noticed, even just from this interview, though, like, if you listen to the first interview we did with Muneeb, and now you listen to this interview. First interview, he's coming in young, reckless, talking a lot of shit about the guy he wants
to fight. I've definitely done a lot of growing up over the last year. I've changed a lot, and that's just part of it. Like,
you've matured, man. Yeah. You don't got to be wanting to kill the guy. It's business.
No, yeah, it's business. I like Anthony personally. He's a cool kid, you know, but at the end of the day, we signed off to fight, and I'm definitely taking this shit seriously. Like, I don't care. I'm winning this fight, whether I like you or not.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'll be there. So,
go ahead.
Well, you got one last question each. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to wrap it up after this, so if you got a question, go ahead.
All right, so I got to hit you with this one, Matt, since we know you watch wrestling to some degree. We got to ask your thoughts on what the fuck has been going on with WWE lately, dog.
If WWE does not give Bray Wyatt that fucking championship, I will find Vince McMahon and beat the fuck out of him. They stopped the ball on everything good. I don't even watch them anymore. I'm an AEW guy, 100%. Those guys are going to put WWE out.
I don't know. Do you think so?
Probably not out, because WWE has so much money. They're global partnerships with all their sponsors and stuff. They'll never get put out. But when CM Punk shows up in Chicago for AEW's next show,
hey, we're going to be there too.
Hey, that'll be a great honeymoon. You, the wife, Chicago, August 31st, StarCast and All Out. I think you should do it.
That's what I'm saying.
Real quick, what did you think about AEW, though? Did you like the Double or Nothing show as a whole?
I was there.
Fuck you.
I thought it was amazing. I thought basically in pro wrestling, you have such a monopoly with WWE that, like, if you're a fan of that type of entertainment, like, you didn't have any option. That was your only option. And now you have a legitimate company with legitimate performers, and you know, those guys know how to do what they do. You know, WWE, obviously, it's scripted entertainment, but the shit they do is pure athleticism. So, you know, I think that you have to have a company like that to kind of balance it out. Just like UFC has Bellator and ONE FC and Risen and all those guys. Like, you have to have options. And I think that's why WWE is struggling so much right now, is because you finally have an entertaining second option that is making WWE look like shit right now. So, if I had the option to go to AEW in Chicago or go to whatever fucking pay-per-view is next for WWE, I'm going to AEW for sure.
Bam. Enough said.
I'm going to Lights
and
Out.
Push for that.
Me too.
And I'll fucking beat you up.
You talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
What'd you Murder? Say? What'd you say?
No, I was talking to Vince McMahon.
Oh, hey, you might not want to push this guy right now, man. He's already a little salty. He's ready to go, man.
No, we good. All right, man. We're going to get you off. Get off my line, bro.
Yeah, I was about to say, Matt, real quick, man, why don't you go ahead and throw your social media out there and let people know all the information they need to know for this Saturday.
Yeah, we got Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, just Lights Out Championship for all three of them. The show is Saturday. The doors open at 6. The fight starts at 7. We've got 3 title fights. We've got some amazing other fights. Tickets are available at the door. We're on Fight TV for pay-per-view. So one way or another, make sure you catch us. And it's going to be a great show.
All right, man. It's great having you on the show again, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. No problem. Muneeb, any last words for you and any last words for your opponent?
No, no last words for him. It's all about me. I'm just going to say.
You know what? I'm going to take the headphones off. I'm going to let you have your moment to shine, man. Oh, you go ahead, man.
I just want to thank all my sponsors, starting with, I'm going to try to remember all you guys, starting with Ready Player One, Built with Grit, AB's Kitchenware. Who else we got? Caesars Coney Island, Maria Sinclair, Nate and Christy Williams, Keller Williams, Legacy, and Big Mo's Kitchen. You guys are all amazing. You guys have all been good to me. Thank you so much. And then also my gyms, Michigan Top Team, Detroit Jiu-Jitsu. That's about it.
I think that pretty much sums it up. Lights out for this Saturday, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Deltaplex Arena.
I'll be there.
Devin will be in the building. Make sure you're checking that out. And, yeah, make sure you check out all the great content that we're bringing you from Knockouts and Three Counts, our episode with Ricky Morton last week, and everything else. So with that being said.
Oh, and so just to let everybody know, I won't be here next week. I'll be on vacation. I'll probably be traveling somewhere in these crazy United States. So
nice. Have fun.
I am, man. I don't know where I'm going to be. I'm just going to get in the car and go. But, Cal, you got this, man.
Hold it down. I'll come on the show. I can take care of it.
You got this, man.
What day?
Next Tuesday.
All right, I'll be here.
So, until next time, which would be in 2 weeks for me, 1 week for this guy. Peace.